This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support for GigPod is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. Get 20% off plus free delivery with the code GIGPOD at manscaped.com.
Hi everyone, and thanks for downloading episode 44 of the Glasgow's Green Podcast, aka GIGPOD. I'm Stevie, and I have good news and I have bad news. Now the good news is, the season's nearly away. The bad news is, unfortunately, we're still having to talk about these miserable and insufferable matches that we're involved in what has turned to a nightmare season that, amazingly, gets worse as it goes on. With me to talk about the latest farce that was Aberdeen 1, Celtic 1, is Spunkphone. Hello, brother.
I thought you were going to say I was the bad news there, Stevie, but hello, how are you doing? How are you doing anyway?
You know, I'm better than last night. It was funny, wasn't it? Because last night we were all geared up, just about to do a pod with me and you. Rizzo's away. He's done. He's going to come back for the Rangers game, conveniently enough, for his final shoot, and then he's done for the season. He can't take it anymore. He's had it. But yeah, myself and you, Spunkphone, were in fairly decent moods up until that team got announced, and then that was it. We both just made a call and went, no chance I'm talking about this. Because you know what? I actually said to Sean, Etienne Bojan, a few days ago, I went, we've got four games to go. There's no chance we're winning at all. We're not taking 12 points for 12. And when I saw that team, I just thought, that's done. It's going to be a draw. We're getting beat. And I'm assuming you felt the same way.
Absolutely. I think that team worked the both of us into an almighty shoot last night. So much so that I didn't even bother watching the game. I know you did cave in the end, but I'm a man of my principles. So
what did you actually do?
See, to be fair, I did watch a bit of the Irish Mitt YouTube watch along, but other than that, the Premier League games on or something. I was just scrolling Twitter, to be honest.
No, like you. What was Irish Michael's battle like?
He was in good form, by the way. There was some big speech he gave at one point about how, you know, obviously everyone's getting torn into his at the minute. But he said something along the lines of, and I'm paraphrasing him a bit here, that you need to remember, a lion is always a lion. And the more that you pull the lion's tail, just watch what will happen next season. So I thought that was quite well put from Irish Michael.
Did Stephen Gerrard no say something about lions before and everybody ripped into him?
He did indeed. There's not going to be any lions there, is there?
Yeah, of course. I mean, oh God, this is already a better part because we're not talking about Celtic. It's incredible, isn't it? But oh my God, moving on to talking about the game, that lineup, it was enough to make my heart go groan. Scott Bain, Joe Kenny, Stephen Welsh, Neil Beaton, Greg Taylor, Scott Brown, Callum McGregor, Ryan Christie, David Thumble, Mohamed El Younoussi, Hudson Edward. I mean, right there, it's just a monotone phrasing how I've just delivered that, because that's what that team deserves. There's just no enthusiasm there. There's no excitement, you know. You had on the bench, you know, you didn't even get to see the boy Montgomery. You got to see Dembele for, 9 or 10 minutes. But, I mean, if they guys started, it would have been a reason to watch it. And here's the thing, right? Anthony Ralston has his faults, we all know this, but I would have much rather seen him in that team than John Joe Kenny. It's amazing that these players who have let us down and just been cowards for the majority of the season, and as we saw on Sunday, it was the big game for us, that was the last chance saloon for a lot of these players to salvage what has been an unbelievable mess of a campaign. These guys let us down big time, and yet the reward is to still keep their place in the team. And that was it for me. So it was, I just had enough of it, and that's when, I watched it, but I wasn't going to talk about it last night because I would have been supremely harsh to the point where lawyers would have been getting involved with this humble podcast, which we already do enough with making sure they stay away when you're on. It was just that team, wasn't it? It was just same old, uninspiring, devoid of any inspiration, just flat. You kind of get excited about that team. You're just dying for the end of the season to be sooner than what it is.
Yeah, no, and I think you're absolutely spot on. And obviously some of the points we've got noted down there to kind of touch on. I mean, we may as well kind of touch on this one now, but persisting with the likes of Brown, Kenny, even Callum McGregor at this point, who, I mean, nothing against Callum McGregor. Obviously his form has dropped, and I think you've covered that quite well on here in terms of the amount of football he's seen over the past 3-4 years, it was inevitable. So I'm perplexed, to be honest, that we continue to just run him into the ground. I'm no surprised, because we've done the same to Tierney when he was breaking down, constantly having to take injections, everything like that. And I mean, that was even when Rodgers was still here. But the McGregor one, for me, it's unforgivable, because I mean, you're heading into next season, he's at the moment going to be the guy that's probably taken over for Scott Brown as the captain, and you know he's got a European Championships to be going in the summer, as well as obviously then coming back and being thrown right into Champions League qualifiers. So I've no idea what we're thinking there with persisting with McGregor. Same with Brown. I mean, a soon-to-be 36-year-old Scott Brown starting at this point in the season, there's nothing left to play for. He's packed his bags for Aberdeen. Again, nowhere near as shocking as it should be. And to be honest, I wasn't even angry when I seen that. It is just feeling a defeat almost. Helplessness, I would call it. I can only assume that John Kennedy has obviously came to him after the game on Sunday. He's went, listen, Scott, we've got a dead rubber up at Pittodrie on Wednesday night. Sorrow, you know, he's going to be here next season. It's only fair he sees a bit of game time after how limited it's been in recent months. And we all know what happens next, Stevie. Hollywood Scott Brown has taken one look at John 10 games Kennedy, and he's just went, that doesn't work for me, brother. That was the worst Hulk Hogan impression ever, by the way. But shout out, by the way, to Etienne Boyan or Sean for that. I've genuinely no stopped laughing at that patter since I heard the pod on Tuesday. So it truly is one of the greats, and it's getting me through an otherwise miserable season.
Indeed, Spunkphone is talking about Gig Pod episode 316, or 43, if you want to go down the non-worked Mark Shoot route. However, Sean was on, delivered an almighty shoot. Spunkphone enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. A lot of the audience did too. Heavily downloaded. Check that one out. To talk about your point as well with Callum McGregor, that's what I said during the game. I mean, Callum McGregor's usually an influential player. He dictates the play. A lot of the tempo of Celtic go through him. We're slow, we're laborious, we're lethargic, and it's no coincidence that, again, we're going to play through Callum McGregor. That's the characteristics he's displaying on the pitch. And I said last night to the people I was watching the game with, he's going to be playing in the Euros and it's going to be high-intensity games. He's not going to get any respite. And you know that he's not going to get hooked off the pitch after 60 minutes. He'll be playing all the minutes there as well. So I worry for the state he's in, and then he's going to be right into the qualifiers. I worry about the nick he's going to be in next season when we're looking for him to be one of our main men. And yeah, you were talking about Scott Brown as well. When you've got McGregor and Brown in the middle, especially now, as I'm talking about with tempo and intensity, there's just none there. It's so flat. Celtic must be one of the easiest teams to play against because there's just no pace there. There's no pace defending. There's no pace breaking. And Aberdeen had this game plan last night where they just knew they were going to get a bit of luck because their finishing is woeful and they were just going to sit in and hit us in the break. But they actually did it time and time again to the point that they could have scored a fair few. And this is the Aberdeen team who has struggled to score. Lewis Ferguson is a top scorer with 8 goals this season in the league. Then you've got Ryan Hedges who scored 4 and then Curtis Main on 2. That's pitiful. Lewis Ferguson scored last night and he could have got another. He hit the post. We get a massive let off with that one around about like 70 minutes or something. I mean, he scores that. It's 2-0 Aberdeen. It's game over.
It's at the point. It's it's not even a laugh or anything, is it? It's not even anger, it's just misery.
After we lost the league to Rangers, when we drew 0-0 with Dundee United, myself and Nizzo got the mics out, we were raging. We said Celtic had to deliver a statement of intent within a fortnight before we played them on the 21st of March. Nothing happened there. But I think we were so angry, there was all this credit for John Kennedy who delivered. He spoke well, right enough, right? And I think myself and Rizzo went a wee bit overboard with him, because it's all very well and good speaking well and, you know, being eloquent in a press conference, but the fact of the matter is that's the way you're going to win points in the pitch, and it's getting no influence in the game. And I think myself and Rizzo went a bit OTT on him, but I'm just getting sick of the team that John Kennedy puts out now. It's essentially, it's like Lennon 2.0. It's frustrating, and actually talking about it now, you can hear it in my voice. It's making me tired. So I'm going to just take over for me before I start greeting.
No, I mean, you're spot on, but it's nothing personal against John 10 Games Kennedy, as he's become known, because he will be making me a very rich man, and many of the support a very, very rich man in the next 270 minutes. But he can't be here next season. He can't. It's the same with Gavin Strachan. Again, nothing personal against him. I know he gets a bit of a slagging on Twitter, although latterly seems to be kind of getting away with it. I think that just sums up how much the season's just sort of turned to absolute misery. It's time for change. I think even if Eddie Howe, if it is to be him that comes in, says, you know, I'll keep John Kennedy and I'll keep Gavin Strachan on, he knows far more about football than us, but I'd be disappointed.
Again, it's setting a precedent, isn't it? It's just going to be constantly reminding you of failure. It's not even that. It's like, any manager comes in next season, but Strachan and Kennedy are kept on, and then there's all sorts of problems on the pitch, the results are suffering, we deteriorate again right away, fingers are going to be pointed, and it's going to be a case of, well, we know what the problem is there, and right away it's unfair on guys like Kennedy and Strachan, who can't carry all the blame on their shoulders, but they will if things start going south, and that you've got to take them out of the firing line in that respect, I think.
You've hit the nail on the head there, I think. If things were to go wrong under a new manager, the finger would immediately be pointed at they too, so I think it's best to just sort of cut ties. I think John Kennedy as well, if he is wanting to be a manager, I don't know if that is the case, but if he does want to be a manager, it probably is time he sort of goes out on his own anyway and goes elsewhere to kind of kickstart his managerial career, I suppose. But I just think, generally speaking, it's best for everyone.
Last night, we were trailing 1-0, and he brings Christie and Edward off and puts on Rogic and Griffiths. Edward, again, wasn't he clinical and he wasn't ruthless, but he was stretching Aberdeen. He was running their defenders wide, and as soon as he came off, Griffiths came on, the movement up front just stopped. When Christie came out again, Christie was terrible. But Rogic came on, you're expecting a lift, you're expecting anything at all, some improvement in Christie, and he was actually fucking worse. So it was just the fact that Kennedy's subs that he managed to make the team weaker. Do you know what you notice with Celtic a lot? Celtic just play right and all the plays in front of them, like in front of the other team, there's never a killer pass, there's never a ball over the top. It's always constantly slow, stale football right in front of the other team, and that's why it's so easy to defend against. Aberdeen, right, this is a team recently who were bodied by Hamilton. Even Livingston took them to penalties as well. They scored two against them, for fuck's sake. This Aberdeen side are terrible. You think Celtic are devoid of any creativity and any like movement. This Aberdeen side are even worse than that. But yeah, last night we actually made it really comfortable for them, and they didn't look threatened by us. And in the end, we'll talk about Lee Griffiths in a minute, but it was the fact, you know, that Aberdeen side, as bad as they were and as terrible as they have been, they looked extremely comfortable against us and they didn't look flustered one bit.
No, I mean, you're spot on. I mean, again, I've seen enough of us this season to know exactly how that game was going to go and how it did go in the end up. You're right, it is just that same slow, turgid football, always in front of the other team. There's no killer pass, there's no player willing to take responsibility. And Aberdeen, as you say, they're a terrible, terrible team. I mean, we were battering them, I remember, on here for one of the previews we'd done, I think, for the, was it 2-1-0s we played against them, weren't it, at Parkhead in quick succession. And I remember we were absolutely battering them before it, talking about just how terrible they are. And granted, obviously, there's been a change of manager there and everything like that, so I can only assume it's the glass effect that they were looking so great against us last night, and it was nothing to do with the continued mismanagement of this squad and this group of players.
When Griffin scored last night, I actually just burst out laughing. Like, I just started laughing. It was almost felt demented. So I did. I mean, it's a great ball in well, you know, see. And Griffiths, to his absolute credit, put it away well. But it was just the fact that he scored. And the first thing that came into my head is this his redemption? Is he going to actually now finish the season strongly and he's going to be our man next season? Because I just wouldn't rule it out at this stage. Griffiths go having a world beating next few games, and then he's still under contract with us. Anything's possible at Celtic now. Anything that you want to happen to be professional and seamless, and the most obvious thing that can happen at Celtic doesn't. So what is your shout on Griffiths going to be there for next season?
Do you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if he was. It wouldn't surprise me if he starts at Ibrox. It's been a running joke, I suppose, for a while, amongst me and my mates and amongst the supporters as a whole, I suppose, that every time he comes off the bench when we're chasing a game or need a goal, you know, that it's his big one last comeback.
The last dance.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to get on to. So, to be honest, I think I've made my feelings clear on Griffiths on here, on social media as well. So I'll leave it at that. But as we're saying, I really hope, to be honest, that cameo against Aberdeen was his last dance. But I know it won't be, knowing this football club.
I don't even want to talk about the Rangers game in this particular moment. I really don't. I know it's next weekend, but in my mind, it's like a year away. I can see it so far enough. I really can. I don't want to talk about Rangers again this season after we talk about this one with them. I'll put that on the back burner. And I just want to simply ask you, Spunkphone, how are you going to celebrate when this season ends? What are you going to do? Which your first thing going to be? The referee blows a whistle in the 90th minute. That's it. Game over. Season's done. How are you going to celebrate it?
I'll be heading straight down to Carlisle, Steve, to get on the pints.
Get off me!
No, I mean, in fairness, the beer gardens will be open by then, of course, up here. So I'll no doubt head up the West End to drown my sorrows. And I'll maybe even race a customary bottle of brown as well to the 10 in a row that never was.
This was meant to be the greatest season that we were living through. And obviously COVID had a very big part and a very big say in what happened there. But the fact is, the players weren't professional enough. The management weren't professional enough. They weren't good enough. And it's just going to be a great, great feeling when the ref blows his whistle at Easter Road. And we don't need to worry about Celtic. We don't need to talk about Celtic, think about them for the next couple of months at least. I know the qualifiers are going to hit us, but it's just going to feel great. It's just going to feel like a weight lifted. Know what it's going to feel like? It's going to feel like waiting test results for something terrible. And then the doctor telling you, by the way, everything's all right. And it's sad that I'm comparing Celtic to an inevitable tumour, but there we go. To answer your question properly, I will celebrate it with a big delicious pint. There's that beer garden in Bothwell Street. What's that one? The German one again? Brauhaus, isn't it, or something? Oh, well, I'll go and have a big lemon brow. I'll raise my glass and I will simply say, Celtic, thank you. That's it. How bad is that we're actually, you know, getting teary-eyed, misty-eyed, fantasising, if you will, about this season ending? This is not how it was meant to be.
It's a really, really sad state of affairs, isn't it? I mean, we're sitting here and we're talking as if, you know, it's going to be this great euphoric feeling, everything like that. We don't need to think about Celtic till the qualifiers hit us and everything like that. But, Stevie, the second this season finishes, we're going to be hit again with that yes sir, I can boogie patter. So, we're not out the woods yet, brother.
That's a bad day when the king of repetitive patter, you, is sick of repetitive patter. So that is a bad day.
It is indeed. I mean, I've been hitting up with the same Bottle of Brown and Hayley Williams patter for now on about 2 years now, but fuck me.
When pubs open and everything, and when we're allowed to travel, when we're allowed to basically go back to being pricks, then me and you can represent GigPod and get kicked out of every pub in Glasgow every weekend. How does that sound? How does that sound if we, in fact, there you go, you ask me what we're going to do to celebrate the end of the season. Me and you can go up the West End and try and, in honour of Neil Francis Lennon, get kicked at the tenant's bar in record time. How does that sound?
That'll work for me, brother.
Right, do you know what will work for you as well? The fact that you know about this review series that we're going to be doing after the season's done. Now, we decided that what we're going to do is in the Sky Sports Premier League Years format, with the out of control music playing, talking about what's happened in that month, but mainly covering the football side of things. We're going to do that with Celtic. Self and Rizzo came up with it a couple of days ago, and the reception to it seems to be pretty favourable. So we're going to go ahead with that. Maybe give us a couple of weeks to clear a hangover first after that Hibs game, and then we'll start off with the first win. We'll probably talk about July. Now, what happened in July here, you ask? Well, we've only got the small matter of pre-season friendlies being a shambles because we never had a full squad to take there because Lee Griffiths went and had takeaways and couldn't be bothered getting himself fit. So that'll kick off the first one. But yeah, we're going to cover it from July all the way to May, month by month. We're thinking about, you know, getting, well, myself and Rizzo doing the first couple. You'll be on one of them too, Spunkphone. You're going to get a chance live on air to choose your month. But we're also, for all the GigPod fans and all the people that listen to us, we're going to maybe ask anyone that wants to come on to discuss the month in particular as well. So if you want to talk about maybe March or you want to talk about January, just feel free to give us a shout on GigPod on the account. Get involved and we'll happily get you on to talk about it. But now you're getting to choose what month you want to talk about when we do a review series of the banner years for Celtic. What one are you wanting, Spunkphone, and why?
So I've thought long and hard about this, Stevie. Actually, I haven't, to be honest, because there's two very obvious choices. August for Ballygate, Ferencvaros as well. From a patter perspective, I think would be a good one to cover. However, for me, after much deliberating, much soul-searching, I have came to the conclusion that the number one choice for sheer patter and the choice of myself in terms of covering this particular review will be January for the Dubai debacle. That is my choice.
Right, it's settled then. You will choose January and you will talk about that with myself or Rizzo to cover the month, which was absolutely not an unmitigated disaster. Right, so there we are. This is GigPod episode 44. It's not been a laugh, but Nara has fallen Celtic this season, and it's all caught up with me. They have exhausted me, and as you can tell in my voice, I'm near breaking point. What I do want to say is, if you've anybody on here who realised they followed Spunkphone and he's now disappeared from their Twitter following, he's got another new one. Spunkphone, what is the reason behind this latest new account, and why do you keep getting chucked in that jail?
Right, so this is three Spunkphone accounts now that have fallen in just over a fortnight, Stevie. I think it's safe to say that Jack from Twitter and the rest of Silicon Valley and Big Tech are clearly on a crusade to silence me. I can only assume this is how Alex Jones felt a few years back. But so that's... And through That's Away, part of fashion, that's Spunkphone Away, that's Scott Spunk Sport Away, and that's my third account that I made as well, HaleyFan67, trying to sort of lay low and stay undercover with that one there. That's Away as well. So in the meantime, listeners can find me at Spunkphone with two E's rather than the usual one, although I do suspect that account will be gone in a week or so. Get over to there just now and don't miss out.
So those three Spunkphone accounts are away. And as is GigPod, this has been episode 44 and we're away. Spunkphone, thanks a lot for coming on, man.
Thanks very much, brother. Pleasure as always.
To the audience, thanks a lot for persevering as well. It's very much appreciated, all the downloads, all the subscriptions. We see them in the stats are going up and up. And it's amazing that yous are still showing us a lot of support, especially in what has been a truly, truly terrible season to talk about Celtic. Thanks a lot for still tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time, which is going to be a preview ahead of the Rangers game. Thankfully, it will be the last Rangers game of the season, and it can't come soon enough. Once more, I'm Stevie. Cheers for tuning in, and hail, hail.
Podcast Network.